May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn 754. 754. Holy Comforter, descend, testify of Christ the Lamb, from the foe our hearts defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. Hymn 754.
Holy Word of God, we'll read together this morning two readings. The first reading, the first book of Kings, chapter 19. We'll read the first 8 verses. The first book of Kings, chapter 19, reading the first 8 verses. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise, and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And now the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, we'll read from verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 35. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And may God bless to us those readings of his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek thy gracious help and presence here this day as we worship thee. We pray that thou would help us, Lord, as we have come into this house of prayer. We pray that thou wilt send us that help, Lord, to worship thee in that right way here today. Lord, thou knowest all about our cases. Thou knowest, Lord, all our need. Thou knowest, Lord, the difficulties, the hindrances there are. Thou knowest, Lord, the weakness of our faith. Thou knowest, Lord, the power of Satan. O Lord, how precious thou art, dear Lord Jesus, for thou hast endured temptation while here upon earth. Lord, we do thank thee that thou art able to sympathize, and Lord, thou art able to understand our case. Lord, we are weak, we are foolish, we're ignorant by nature. Oh, we do pray that thou would open thy gracious hands, and Lord, that thou would receive us to thyself. Draw us, we pray, even this morning, that we may, Lord, know that nearness, that we may be brought nigh. We pray that, Lord, that thou would open thy arms of love and mercy and embrace, Lord, poor sinners here this day. Grant that we may know those arms of love and mercy around us, giving us that protection, giving us that strength, lifting us, Lord, and putting strength in us, being that gracious and sovereign protector for us from dangers seen and unseen, and keeping the enemy of souls from us. Lord, we do pray that thou shut him out of this house of prayer. Shut him out, Lord, of the various homes who are listening in to the services this day. Shut him out of our hearts, Lord, as he may not steal away those things that are read and spoken. And Lord, may we know true fellowship, that union with thee. Know what it is to walk with Jesus. To know what it is to have our hearts burning within us as he talks with us by the way. May we know something of what those two on the road to Emmaus knew. Oh, we would see Jesus this day.
Oh, we would be brought nigh by that precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, what a way of access. Oh, may we ponder it, pray over it, know some sweet meditation on that precious blood, that blood which cleanseth from all sin, that blood which rights all the wrongs that we have done, that washes sinners and brings them forth whiter than snow, that which brings a clean thing out of an unclean, that which is that perfect answer for our guilty conscience. Oh, we do pray that guilt might be sweetly removed, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, might be known in our hearts. Lord, do lift us above inferior things. Draw us to thyself. Lord, thou knowest those that are feeling cast down, those, Lord, that are feeling wearied, those, Lord, who are feeling discouraged. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thy word this day may be blessed to them, and that there might be strength put in us, and hope raised up in our hearts, an expectation, Lord, of heavenly things. Grant us, Lord, that we might follow on to know the Lord, who to know is life eternal. Bring us, Lord, into that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Oh, Lord, who create in us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. Make us willing. Make us, Lord, obedient to thy commands. Grant us, Lord, that faith to walk when we cannot see the way clear. Grant us, Lord, that we may press on. We may walk unhindered. O Lord, may we be travelling through this life of sin and woe, and journeying on to that promised land. So help us, we pray. Thou knowest each need, each heart is open before thee. Nothing is hid, nothing secret. Lord, we do pray that thou look in love and mercy upon each and pour out thy spirit upon us. May, Lord, thy work appear in each heart, teaching us, convicting us, convincing us, and establishing us and building us up in the things of God. Lord, we pray that there might be thy work seen in hearts that are yet dead in sin. Grant, Lord, that the conviction of thy Spirit's work might be known and felt, that sinners might be humbled before thee, brought down to thy feet in confession of sin, and finding that, oh, that place of forgiveness, a refuge for sinners in the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We might find acceptance in the Beloved. We do pray for each, Lord, this day. We think particularly of our dear brother Benji Baker. Lord, we do pray, do comfort his heart, Lord, and the hearts of the dear family, as Lord, we've heard the solemn news of the diagnosis for dear Lydia Baker. Lord, we do pray for her. Lord, thou art the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. O Lord, we do thank thee for that good hope of her and that work within, that work, Lord, which cannot be removed or extinguished. Lord, we pray, do comfort each of the family at this time of sorrow. And Lord, may these things be sanctified and used for the good of many souls. O Lord, to be prepared for that great day. Lord, we do pray that each heart might be touched with this solemn news. And Lord, may that question be asked in each of our hearts. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Lord, if it should be us who, Lord, are to be called to stand before thee, oh, are we ready? Oh, we do pray then that thou would help the family as they care for her. And Lord, we do pray that thou would undertake for Lydia, for Benji, and for each of the family, and graciously uphold them, Lord, in this difficult time. Oh, but may there be, Lord, times to taste the Saviour's love. Oh, may there be those times, Lord, in the coming weeks and months where all the glory is given to thee. Oh, we do pray then, bless this church and congregation in this time of sorrow. Lord, may this sadness, this solemn news be graciously used even for the children. Lord, we do pray that many hearts might be brought to consider, to ponder the path of their feet. Oh Lord, we pray in love and mercy, look upon each one. And Lord, we live in solemn times. Thy judgments are upon our land and nation. But Lord, judgment has begun at the house of God. And Lord, we confess our sin with shame. We confess our lukewarmness, our indifference at times, the half-heartedness, Lord, the apathy. Oh, we pray, Lord, as we look around the church of God in this day, in this land. Oh, are we not as that seventh church, the church of the Laodiceans? Oh, lukewarm. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may apply our hearts, ourselves at the throne of grace, that we may buy of the gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Lord, may we be rich in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Bring us back, Lord. May we know true gospel liberty. Lord, may there be an outpouring of thy Spirit, a reviving of thy work. Lord, bring this the church in this day we live out of that sleepy state, and fire our hearts with thy zeal, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Lord, may we be burning in our love and our desire to serve thee, to worship thee, to honour thee in all that we do. Lord, separate us from our idols. Deliver us from our besetting sins. Those things, Lord, that cling to us, Lord, remove them, we pray, that those things that would hinder us in our walk and in our pilgrimage. Help us to lay aside every weight, and may we run in thy ways. Oh, we pray, Lord, draw us to thyself. May we know that close walk with thee, that walk which brings calmness and peace in even in days of trouble and distress, that we may walk in faith, knowing that thou art with us. Lord, do help us then. Make us more earnest in prayer. And though we have at times things that seem impossible, may we then be brought to an understanding that thou art the Lord God omnipotent reigning, and there is nothing too hard for thee. So help us, Lord, we pray. Increase our faith as we come to the throne of grace. May we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And bless us, Lord, we pray, and watch over the untrodden steps of our feet. And grant us, Lord, that we may do those things which are right in thy sight. Help parents to bring up their children. Help us, Lord, to set a good example before them as we live our lives. May it be said of us, like it was said of Nathanael, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Oh, to be not of a double heart, not living a double life. Oh, but make us real Christians, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, we come, Lord, with many, many faults and failings. Lord, we have to confess how far short we feel to come at times. Oh, but how precious is our Lord and Saviour to those who feel to come short. Oh, what a refuge there is in Christ Jesus our Lord for burdened sinners, those who feel to be far off. Oh, we pray, may we find that refuge in him. Oh, may we see the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. May we run into it and be found safe at last. Do have mercy upon us then, we pray. Bless the children and help them. Lord, help them as they listen to the reading, to the preaching of thy word. Grant them the understanding. Lord, art able to apply thy word to the youngest or to the oldest. Lord, thy power knows no end. We pray that thou wilt open the young hearts and grant them the fear of the Lord in them. May they seek those things, Lord, which are right. May they be graciously ordered and directed in all things, and find in the days of their youth Christ Jesus to be precious. Lord, do help each one then. Lord, have mercy upon us and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we are nothing without thee. We have nothing. Oh, we do pray. Do open thy gracious hand and pour out a blessing, we pray. May there be something to take home, something to think on, to pray over, something to live on. Feed us, we pray. Lead us to the fountain of living water. And bid us drink, we do pray. Pardon all we have asked amiss. Lord, there are things we fail to ask for. Make up in giving, we pray. And take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Just continue with hymn 798. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell, but who can give us faith? Hope in Christ the soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives, but who can give us hope? Hymn 798.
Will you turn with me to our second reading, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from the last part of verse 48. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, the last part of verse 48. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, the last part of verse 48. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The whole verse reads, Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. This statement from the Lord Jesus, spoken to Nathanael, meant so much to him. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. It was this brought to him by the Lord Jesus, this knowledge that he had been seen when he thought he was out of sight. When he was sitting under that fig tree, when he thought that no one could see him, the Lord saw him there. That fig tree with its branches coming down. And Nathanael sitting under the tree. I wonder if some of us here this morning have those places in our lives where we take ourselves out of the way, out of sight. Is there a secret aspect, a secret part to our religion? You know, many of the Pharisees had an outward religion, didn't they? They did things openly, did it to be seen. But I wonder how much of our religion is done in secret. Is there those things? Is there a secret part to our religion? This is so precious to a soul when those secret things are graciously applied. Those secret times that the Lord brings them out and uses them to confirm us in the way. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, that question was answered. Nazareth, that despised town, a place really which was looked down upon, and even by this godly man, Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. He's not going to argue with him. Come and see for yourself. And as he's coming, that the Lord Jesus knows him already. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. How does he know? First time he's seen him, surely. First time he's spoken to him. an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. What you see with Nathanael is what he is. What he says is what he means. There's nothing double-minded about him. There's no double heart here. No, his religion, in public and in secret, consistent. His life, in public and in secret, consistent. No guile. Oh, what a testimony. Out of the mouth of the lips of the Lord Jesus concerning the life of this man Nathanael, an Israelite indeed, the true household of Israel. And how does the Lord know? Because he is God and man. Because he had heard his prayers. Because he had seen him in prayer, in meditation, in worship. Because, beloved friends, God looketh upon the heart. God looketh upon the heart. Oh, we look on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Whence knowest thou me? How is it that this man from Nazareth knows me? How can he know what I'm like? How can he know my character? How can he know my life? Whence knowest thou me? Before that Philip called thee. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, to have, beloved friends, a religion like this. A religion that is in our heart. A religion that desires, that hungers, that thirsts after righteousness. A heart made soft. Not that thing which pumps blood around our body, but our very inner being desires the presence of the Lord. Do you have that desire at times? It'd be a wonderful thing if you can answer humbly, reverently this morning, yes. You know times in your life when you just want to be alone with the Word of God, a desire to think upon him, a desire to think about his Word, his work, a desire to ponder. I wonder if you have a desire to think about the love of God. On such love, my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Oh, it's sweet meditation, that is. If you're able at times to get some quiet, get yourself away from the busy things of life, get a quiet place in your home or out somewhere, in your car, you're able to ponder. Ponder the love of God to sinners. To think upon him and all that he has done for poor sinners, hell-deserving sinners, wretched sinners. Oh, that's sweet meditation, isn't it? No desire. Maybe at work, you're doing something monotonous, something you've done many times and you're able to do it, and as you do it, your mind is able to, oh, it goes to some sweeter things. when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. How sweet it is at times in our lives. I pray there is in your life times when you think you've been alone, or maybe it's you and a family member, you and your wife, or you and your husband, or you and a brother or sister, or whatever. But you've been talking things over. You think it's just the two of you, or the three of you, or how many of them are in your home, and you've been thinking and you've been talking things over, maybe things that are happening in your life at present, and you wonder maybe how things will turn out, or you wonder what the Lord will do or what he's doing. And then you go to the house of God, and it's the preaching is as though the Lord has been in your very room with you. It's as if he's been in your kitchen, listening as you sat around the table the night before. He so brought the word, his word to you, that it's as though he was there, but you couldn't see him, but he heard. He was that unseen guest listening. Maybe as you poured out your heart in sorrow, maybe you felt cast down, disappointed. It's humbling, this is humbling. Maybe you've been murmuring. Maybe you've been feeling hard done by. Maybe you've been feeling that your lot is too heavy for you. You've been dealt a hard one. And you're under it, and you're kicking against it, maybe. And the Lord has let you know that he's heard. Oh, he's heard. And he's brought the his word to you. And he's so convicted you of your murmuring. Oh, you've lost sight of the life of your Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, haven't you? And he's brought you to consider him. That you endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And you have. You've been wearied and you've been faint and you've been ready to give up and you've been ready to turn back and you've been ready to cast it all aside. And the Lord has stopped you. And he's brought you to consider him. And his way was much rougher and darker than mine. Oh, you can't believe it, can you? Much rougher and darker. You say, mine's rough and dark, but I'm a sinner. But his was much rougher and darker than mine. It's the darkness that gets me. The darkness. The Father turning away his face from his only begotten Son. The darkness. The sin put upon him, not his beloved friends. He was sinless until that great load of sin was put on him, and the darkness that sin brought, and the separation, and he felt it keenly. Darkness. You say, I can't walk by faith. Ah, consider him. Walking to Calvary, the darkness, the Father turning away his face. He is said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now, for a season, because of sin, the sin which he came to bear, the sin that he came to put away, to carry, to take from his people, and to take it away forever. That caused darkness. Darkness. And yet he endured. And he continued, steadfast. He was unmovable. He gave no ground. He continued to the end. Oh, there is meditation there. And maybe you know times like dear Elijah. And he was brought to sit under a tree, wasn't he? A juniper tree. And he was at his wit's end. That's a scriptural expression, that is. Psalm 107, wit's end. Take away my life. This is how he felt. Hear his word, beloved friend. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. I remember when the Lord, I didn't know it was the Lord. I didn't know what was going on. But he turned my life upside down. And he brought me to feel so miserable. And he brought me to a place of such trouble and sorrow. Turned my life upside down. I didn't know what was going on. Such was the sorrow and the trouble. And I had, you know, this is my ignorance. This was my ignorance. I'd spent how many years? 30-odd years in going to chapel every Sunday. But I'd never really taken any notice of the juniper tree in Elijah. Of course, I would have known it in my head, I'm sure. But I'd read it and had it taught in the Sunday school, and I'd never really given it much thought. You know, that's it. That's where I was. I remember I picked up this writing, this piece of paper that was given to me by my mother, and it was about the life of my father. And I began to read it. You say, this is probably a bad time to pick up and read something like that, but I did. And you know, that absolutely broke me. I read about his life, and I thought, I'm finished. I'm nothing like my father. I haven't got the God of my father. I'm not going to go where he went, where I believe he is. I haven't got the faith, the hope, the love of my father. Take away my life. I'm no better than my father's. Well, I was nothing like him. Absolute far off sinner. No hope. At the end of the earth. And yet, oh, the sweetness in the days after. As I turned those pages of scripture and read, dear Elijah. And what happened to dear Elijah, beloved friends, in a small way, happened to me. The Lord came and touched him. When he was ready to give up, when he was far off, when he was beyond all natural help, gone off into the wilderness, he'd sat under that juniper tree and was ready to die. Now Elijah, He's a child of God. I didn't know I was, but he was. And he was brought to feel that everything was too much. He couldn't. Think of it. He couldn't take his own life. That's not the sense of it. Why would he have run away from Jezebel if he wanted to die? He could have stayed and let her do it. He ran away in fear. He was left to himself for a little. This was the prophet Elijah who had on Mount Carmel done those wondrous things under the power of God. But here Elijah, to teach Elijah, to keep Elijah, the Lord had left him a little to himself. And he flees from Jezebel. But he cannot continue. Oh, he is overwhelmed with his walk. The life, the path the Lord has called him to walk is too heavy. It's too great. It's too much of a burden. The work is too much. The load is too heavy to bear. Take away my life. I'm no better than my father's. Oh, but the Lord appears. Arise and eat, for the journey. For the journey is too great for thee. And there's a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head. But he did eat and drink, and he laid himself down again. Still under the juniper tree. Oh, he still feels he can't go on. The angel of the Lord came again a second time. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Now the Lord knows. Oh, beloved friends, what times these are. Will he plead against me with his great power? Said Job. No. He would put strength in me. He would put strength in me. Oh, will he leave me languishing under this juniper tree? No. He'll put strength in you. Oh, will he leave you overwhelmed with the way? Will he leave you in this place? No. He'll put strength in you. Strength to continue. Strength to press on. But it's a conflict, Lord. Lord, it's a warfare. I don't feel equipped for it. I don't feel strong for it. You're not. That's why you need him. Oh, it's when we're weak, then we're strong. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yours isn't. Your strength isn't. You haven't the grace you need to continue in and of yourselves. But in your Saviour, Christ Jesus, there is the grace to continue. There is a fullness in him. There is the strength for tomorrow. There is everything you need to go on and on and on to the end. In Christ Jesus the Lord. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, it's perfectly displayed in weak, timid, fearful sinners. The strength of the Lord, it's perfected in them. It's finished in them. It's completed in them. Oh, they're to cling and to cleave to him. Oh, they won't be walking bold and proud in their own strength and wisdom and their own courage. But clinging and cleaving to him is how he'll have them go. And it's strength for equal to each day is what he gives. And it's not tomorrow's strength today. It is what is needed for today. It's like the manna is given daily. Oh, we're not to live with a great storehouse of our own. But there is a great store full. There is a fullness in Christ Jesus our Lord, and we to go daily. And we're to seek to the Lord himself, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, that we might be satisfied with strength equal for our day. Oh, let us get out of that mind of the world which needs a store of our own. But we're to live upon him. Live upon our God. To live upon him. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, maybe there's a few like Elijah this morning. You've taken yourself off, as it were, and you've put yourself out of sight. And you that's where you want to be. And you're on your own, and you're there because you've had enough and you can't continue. Oh, what a mercy! Even there, said the psalmist, even there shall thy right hand hold me. Even there, that the Lord is able to. To reach you, to touch you, to visit you. Oh, you might try and take yourself out of his way. But Psalm 137, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Have you taken yourself away because it's too difficult? What's the Lord laid upon you to do, but you're kicking against it? I wonder if there's a Jonah here this morning. I won't do that. I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're fretting under the yoke. Oh, you want the comfort of the Lord, but you won't take his yoke upon you. You don't want to learn of him, do you? No, the yoke's too hard for you. To be yoked to Christ Jesus, to take the gospel yoke upon you, my shoulder won't bear it, Lord. You want to be afar off, an outer court worshipper. To be yoked to the Son of God in the gospel is not agreeable to your own natural inclination. Unlike Jonah, you're fleeing from doing those things which deep down you know you're obliged to do. Whither shall I flee from thy presence? He says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now the Lord's going to search you out. You can't run from his commands. You can't run from his presence. You might seek to take a few natural steps to hinder the work of God. But he says, I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall hinder it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, how humbling to Hagar it was when the Lord found her at the well, running away from her mistress, running away in rebellion, turning her back on what the Lord had set before her to do. Oh, that's our natural thing to do, isn't it? We don't want to acknowledge that the Lord has a right to order even our natural work. The place that you're working in, the people you're working for, the school that you're going to, the things that you have to do. Oh, how we rebel against them. The Lord has all these things in your life under his control. Humble thyself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God rather than rebel. Oh, the easy way, the world's way, is to run. The world will jump out of something into another. Don't like the look of something, will do their own will as they think. No, it's not for us to do, is it? Commit thy way unto the Lord. And trust also in him, even when you don't like it. And he shall bring it to pass. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Give all into his hand. Don't go before the Lord. Don't walk in your own wisdom. Don't take a step in your own strength. Seek his direction. Maybe you are stirred up to hand in your notice, to resign your work. Maybe you feel you can't carry on. Is the Lord in it? Is it his time? Oh, don't do anything hasty. Bring it to him in prayer. Jacob, he had a difficult boss, didn't he? Laban. Oh, I've changed my wages 10 times, said Jacob. Changed my wages 10 times. Hard thing. What do we read? The Lord saw all that Laban did. The Lord said, the angel of God spake to him in a dream, saying, Jacob. And he said, I said, here am I. And the Lord said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled and grizzled. This is it. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. You think no one's seen You're enduring it alone. Your life is hard. Nobody seems to care. I have seen. But why, Lord? Why has it been let to go on for so long? Because it's not my time. Because my work is not finished. But it is now, Jacob. I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, and then you've got to go. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Oh, because the word of the Lord hasn't come. Because he hasn't given you direction. You think he's not heard. You think he's not seen. You're even thinking that he doesn't care. I have heard thy cries. I have seen thy tears. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Yet will I not forget thee. Even mothers may turn and be neglectful for their children. Yet will I not forget thee. Why not? I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. There's not a single thing, dear friends, not a single thing that is taking place in your life that God doesn't know. Not a single thing. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Every minute detail of your life, every in and out, every up and down, every crooked thing, every hard thing, every trying thing, everything is seen, everything is known, everything is ordered. Nothing is by chance. Oh, may the Lord so bless us with that knowledge of who he is. May we be brought to truly humble ourselves under his mighty hand, to wait upon our God, to stay upon our God, to not depart from our God, to wait upon him in prayer, to seek his that his will might be made known to us, to seek that direction, to seek that we may know when to move, when to speak, and to wait humbly for him. I can't. It's the hardest thing, isn't it? Waiting. If you're anything like me, maybe you're not. Maybe this is just one of my faults. But you want to be doing something. Doing is easier than waiting in some respects. Some things the Lord calls us to do are hard to do, and we don't want to do them. But when the Lord says to you to wait, and makes you wait, that's difficult. I think often of Elijah as he sat at the brook Cherith. And he sat there, and he was content to sit there, and he waited, and he didn't move until the word of the Lord came again. He didn't move when the brook dried up. He waited for the word of the Lord. And when the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came. get thee to Zarephath. There before us, an example of submission to the will of the Lord. Watching, waiting, praying. Not working our own plans, not working our own schemes. Waiting upon God. And beloved friends, none shall be ashamed that wait upon God. None will miss out. No opportunity will be missed. Anything that you seem to have missed wasn't necessary, wasn't needful, wasn't right. Waiting upon the Lord. We need to close. But Isaiah 40 closes with those beautiful verses. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. May the Lord bring you to sit under his shadow. Bring you out from under your juniper tree. Bring you out from under your fig tree. Bring you to sit under his shadow. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The apple tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Oh, that we might be brought to that shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You can't get the benefit of the shadow except we come nigh, except we draw near to him, that his shadow might be cast over us, or that we might find the rage of the midday sun taken from us, and sitting there under the shadow of the Almighty, we might find a strength-reviving shadow of him. And he might bring us to eat of his pleasant fruits. Oh, that he might feed us and so bless us that we feel refreshed, that we feel strengthened, and that we can continue steadfast to the end. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parish hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and will preach again this evening, and the service to be at 6 o'clock. He also expects to preach again on Tuesday evening, and on Saturday there will be a prayer meeting. There will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 2:30 when Mr. Parish will give an address. And next Lord's Day Mr. Graham Cottingham expects to preach at 10:30 and 6:00, and he also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. Hymn 762.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.